I've been set free by the grace of God.
Never love. Listen, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. Brother Greg, my sin, not in part, but the whole is nailed to cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And Lord, the day when my face shall be sight, and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumpet shall sound, and the Lord and so it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well.
This world can't contain what the Lord has done for me in saving my soul. That's the most important thing right there. And I'm thankful for that. If you have your Bible this morning, we'd like to read with us just a few verses. Deuteronomy chapter 31, about three verses. Deuteronomy chapter number 31. I want you to pay close attention this morning. We're going to have to do a little bit of backtracking in our mind. But let me read with you. Hopefully you found it by now. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I'm 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. You know, if that would have been some of us, we'd been disappointed. You see, when Moses started the journey with the children of Israel, the message was always the same. We're going to the promised land. We're going to the promised land. You know, it'd be kind of like me if I was saying, well, you know what? Whenever we get an opportunity, we're going. We're going to go. Well, it didn't happen for Moses. Moses couldn't go. We won't get into all the details, but Moses couldn't go. But it didn't sound like disappointment, because he may have not have been able to walk, but God let him see. But he got a better place than going over into the promised land. Now you have to think about that. We think, man, and I was blessed. Me and Charlene, we went to the Holy Land, and I was blessed to be able to be over there and see it, and just to be able to see it with these eyes. All those type things was just such a blessing, but you know the better blessing than that is whenever you leave this world and you go home. That's a blessing. But let me go. Verse 3. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. May we pray. Father, we thank you for the word. God, I thank you that you love us. God, thank you, Father, that God, every word that we need to hear, God, you have it for us. Every time my heart needs that touch, God, you always touch it. And I pray, God, today for somebody here that's not ready, God, before the day's over, God, they'll be prepared in Jesus' name. Amen. It just sounds very simple situation. Moses is telling the children of Israel, I'm not going with you. The Lord's going to be with you, but I'm not going to go with you. And I want you to know this, that Joshua is going to go before you. Joshua. Now, whenever he says Joshua is going to go before you, that meant to me that Joshua was going to be your new leader. He was be the one that you would follow. Now, I know in a lot of churches today, they all expect the preacher to be the leader. They all expect. Well, I got news for you. If you're wanting that, I'm not your leader. If we're not following Christ, we're missing the mark. Because man will lead you astray. The best that man can do, even as a preacher, can lead you wrong. Because he can't depend upon himself for common sense. He must depend upon the Lord. You must follow his words and not your words. It's not the catchy saying that I might come up with that you might remember. No, it's none of that. It's the word of the Lord. Now, what happened was, I don't know how it took place. I don't know when it took place. It's not recorded in this scripture. But on this occasion, Moses is telling the folks, and I don't know if it's the first time hearing it or if it's the second time hearing it, but Brother Joshua is hearing from the Lord that he is going to be the new leader. Now, I don't know if that's first, second, or third, but somehow or another, the message comes to Joshua that you're going to lead God's people and you're going to lead them over into the promised land. Now, our first example of Joshua, we might look a little bit further. You know, whenever they spied out the land, Joshua was just one of the 12. He was just one of the 12. And when being one of the 12, him and another one decided to come back with a good report. And their report that they reported back to Moses, oh yeah, we can take this land. We can do this thing. Well, that would be good, wouldn't it? But you know what? Joshua was not the leader. He didn't make the final decision. You know? He just reports back to Moses. Second occasion that I want to recall. One day Moses was going up into the mountain of God. Y'all know these. I love them. We're going up into the mountain of God. Joshua goes up part of the way. Moses goes up the whole way. Moses gets up there and gets them 10 commandments, comes back down. You know the story. Joshua says, Moses, sound like there's war going on in the camp. Moses knew what was going on. Remember, Joshua wasn't the leader. Joshua just reported what he heard to Moses. He didn't know. Now, friend, whenever you're able to report to somebody at a higher power, it's a whole lot better. You don't have to make those decisions. It's somebody else that does. In the military service, we had all kinds of ranks. Man, little bitty stripes. And I had one of them little bitty stripes, you know. And then you get bigger and bigger. Them stripes get bigger and bigger. And they turn into bars and stars and all that. I never got one of those. Don't want one of those. You know why? They was the ones that was a leader. I was a follower. Wherever they said go, I go. I was never a leader. I was always a follower. Now, what does it mean that Moses had said this? God said, you're in charge. If I was to say, you know what we need today? What we really need today is a Joshua. Man, we need to follow the Lord. And a Joshua would be a great, wonderful leader. Because, friend, the very first thing we go into Jericho, bingo, he's a good man. He could have done all the, friend, we're going to march around that city. We're going to march. We're not going to say a word. We're just going to be quiet. We're going to march around it day after day. Friend, anybody, man, we could follow a leader like Joshua. But that's not it. God put Joshua in the place that Joshua wanted to be. Now, you better think that through a moment. You might think, well, if God really puts it in my heart, I want to be a leader. There were 12 disciples originally. 12 disciples. We know that one of them was of the devil in the beginning, and that was Judas. 11 disciples, numbers are getting down. There ought to be one of those disciples that step forward and say, you know what? I'm going to be the kingpin of the disciples. You remember there was three of the disciples that was kind of what we call might be the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And boy, they would have been stepping forward as leaders. On the day of Pentecost, one disciple stood forward and he preached this message. But he starts out this message with such a profound statement. Boy, that has to be the leader. Man, it has to be the Apostle Peter to be the leader of the disciples. But yet that same one denied the Lord. Same one said, when it come time for other things to be happening, the Apostle Peter says, I'm going fishing. It seems like we can never find the perfect leader. Whenever I was a lot younger, we had a president. Name was Ronald Reagan. I watched one of his cowboy shows a few weeks ago on television. And in our first few minutes of it, I didn't watch but about 10 minutes of it, okay? First few minutes of the Ronald Reagan movie, I thought, man, I get to see the president as a cowboy. Now, I liked him when he was a cowboy for real and not, you know, I liked the cowboy part. But it didn't work for me. You know what I really liked? When he was the president. He come up with those funny sayings and come up with some things. And during the Jimmy Carter days, it was this. And then when Ronald Reagan, it was just like, man, that was a breath of fresh air for me. I enjoyed it. But you know what? He wasn't the leader, even though he was president. He wasn't the leader. What does it mean to be a leader? We can call all of the history books and we can call all the educational books and we can do the, we can Google it on our phone and say, what is a leader? And it'll list all these things. But friend, they'd all be wrong. What is a leader? The Bible said that when God put Joshua where he was going to be in front of the people. In front of the people. Now, there's a scripture in the Bible, and I won't go to it, but the Bible says there that when a man is plowing in the field, I'm going to give you my version. When he's plowing in the field, he cannot look back. Because if he looks back, the scripture uses the term not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Which means God has us kind of like the old mule in the blinders that they used to put on mules, so that your focus should be forward. Your focus should be straight ahead. We can look and say, boy, now that's a leader. If he's always focusing forward, if he's always looking ahead, man, that's a true leader. But do you know every born again child of God should not be concerned with who's behind us? We should not be concerned if they're following. The children of Israel were thousands of them. You remember, counting was a very serious offense in the eyes of the Lord. He didn't want his people counted. He kept that up. No, there's no counting. Why? Because if we count and it's by numbers, if we can win a battle by numbers, oh yeah, that's what we think. If we got 1,000 and they got one, there's pretty good chances that we're going to win this battle. That ain't the way God fights. God don't want us to fight by our might, our strength. God doesn't want us to lead if we can look back over our shoulder and see we got all kinds of support. Hey, I know as a preacher, it's very important to have your support behind me. It's very important for me to know that whenever we preach the gospel, that it's received and receptive. But friend, I got news for you. Whether you like it or not, whatever God's word needs to be preached, whatever God's word needs to be said, and God tells me to say it, I'm going to say it if you like it or not. I'm not after approval. I'm not after to look over my shoulder and see if you're okay with it. The gospel needs to be preached to every creature. If he's lost, he needs to hear that he's lost. This message of leadership comes when you won't look back. When you don't have a desire to look back. There's some scriptures over, and we won't go to it for the sake of time. But over in 2 Chronicles, it tells a story about the two tribes of the children of Israel. Two basic tribes of all of them. They, you know how they grouped themselves together. And one tribe, they done got way kaflooey-looey. They done got way far yonder. They had done changed the priest's job. They had done, made them some images. They had done, man, they'd done so many wrongs, there was no right in it. But they had numbers. They had numbers. They had thousands of fighters. Well, here, and lo and behold, God had some folks, may not have been the greatest leader, but he had a whole lot less numbers, about 4,000. And out of those numbers, they were going to fight against. Now listen, God's people fighting against God's people. But you know, God's people can get out of the will of God. God's people can turn their back on God. God's people can get just exactly like Lot did in Sodom and Gomorrah. Get so far backslid, they don't know which direction they're going, and they can't figure out which way is up, much less lead the children of Israel. You see, I think that's the way America's got. America used to be in God we trust. Now we're trusting everything but God. What we're finding ourselves is just like when those people, and they begin to fight. But before they begin to fight, the group of God's folks that done got contrary to the will of God got behind the other group. And there was enemy in front of them, and there was enemy behind. And all of a sudden, God's folks, here's what they did. They saw them. And they realized they were outnumbered. Use the simple math, 2-1. They were outnumbered in front and outnumbered behind. What were they going to do? The Bible actually describes that there was a trumpet. There was a priestly sound. In other words, they called out upon the Lord. They made their cry unto God. Now, friend, I don't care how many numbers that the devil's got. If we'll keep our eyes off looking in the rearview mirror, and if we'll just follow God, if we'll put Him first, if we'll follow, it doesn't matter how much the devil's going to raise his ugly head. It doesn't matter what kind of problems it's going to be in your life, in your family, in your people. If you'll trust God, you know what happened? Whenever they raised their voice, God answered them. When God answered them, all the enemy was killed. How is that possible? There was a small number of God's folks. God don't look at numbers. God looks at individuals. God looks particularly at you this morning. Many times in my life, I'll ask God for some of the simple things in life. Simple things. And those simple things, when God answers the simple things, I'm just as thankful if God was to give me $1 million. Why? Because, friend, you got to know that to follow Him, you don't need to look at others. You're just looking at Him. You're not focusing on what else is going on. You're focusing on God. You're focusing on Him. You're focusing on exactly what the word of the Lord and Joshua, He shall go over before thee. He realized his place was in front. He had no other alternative in his mind. He realized his place was in front. When you realize where your position is in the Lord, you won't be happy unless you're in that spot. How many preachers do you know that are not preaching anymore? You know why they don't preach? Because they're not in the limelight. They want to be number one. Something was said, and it made me remember. I had two uncles that was preachers. And it put a huge amount of pressure on me when I was younger. I didn't want no one to ever say, well, you were called to preach because you're one of them mama call type preachers. Boy, that put a lot of huge pressure on me. And so if anyone ever mentioned to me, your name is Tally, and I would always real clear, I would always use my name, not my last name. I didn't want to be referred to be a follower of my uncles that preached. I didn't want to follow in their footsteps. I'm not a preacher after following in footsteps. The only footsteps I want to follow is those of the Lord. Man will never, ever please God. Only way we can please God is if we get close enough to Him so our ways change. My thoughts change.
When God wants to speak to you, He first has to get your attention. He first has to get your mind in shape. So whenever He speaks, it's like Moses. Moses said to everybody, "Oh, guess what? I'm not going with you any further. Joshua is, but I'm not." You know, some of those folks didn't like it because Joshua was going to be the leader. But it didn't matter to nobody because God said He was going to be the leader. It takes a lot to get our mind the way God thinks. It takes a lot to understand God. If we get our mind right, we'll get closer to Him. We'll want to be closer to Him. Whenever I went back to the inner circle of those disciples, and I looked at that inner circle when they went on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord on that day, and they saw those things. You remember us talking about it? Friend, they wanted to tell everybody. You know what the Lord said, dude? Nope, can't tell it. Not till after the resurrection. Well, that didn't make sense then. They didn't know what was going on. Here's what I like. They had to hold it on the inside. Have you ever been told something that you can't tell? It's called a secret. Now, some of you folks ain't never had a secret in your life. Don't worry about it. You can just dream about it. But the reality of it, this was a secret. You can't tell nobody. I imagine about that first day, they're busting a gut to want to tell it. But they couldn't tell it because God said, don't tell it. You know what they couldn't wait for? The resurrection. Now, you know that ain't Bible, but I'm going to tell you my version. One day after that resurrection, it come back to their mind, oh, I can tell what I saw. Now, why did God hold that back? Well, there's many reasons, but let me just say this one. This is my version. When God let them tell it, they could describe it in words of the first person, because I was there. When you tell something in the first person, I saw, I felt, I heard. When you tell something in a first person story, it is a fact. And whenever you tell the story that on that day Jesus was transformed in front of them, friend, whenever He put on that glorified body, so to speak, whenever He stood before them, there was not a spot that any of those disciples wanted to be. They wanted to be right there on that day. You couldn't have drugged them out of there. Why? They were close to God. Close to God. On the day that Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, we describe the story as a light brighter than a noonday sun. We hear the story that the other folks that was around, they didn't know what was going on. But when the Lord began to speak to Saul, Saul was in no better spot that he wanted to be in his entire life. When you are given the opportunity to hear from heaven, there's no closer spot than you'll ever be. Can you reflect back to when you felt like you was going to die and go to hell? You felt like you was going to die that day? Heartbroken? Man, you felt there was no tomorrow. But ain't you glad Jesus came along and introduced a spirit to you called the Holy Spirit of God? A spirit to you and it cast out all your sins, and you felt like you was just holding the hand of God. There's no, and I hate to use the word, but there's the only way I can describe it. There's no better feeling than being next to God. No better feeling. No better feeling in this world than to know that you have been touched by the Almighty. And when Joshua was told on that day, you're going to lead my people, it was almost, how close can I get to God? Now here's the kicker. Well, I can't get any, I'll never be any better off than the preacher at the church. He'll always be number one. That ain't Bible. You can get as close to God as you want to get. There's no restriction. You can't go that far. Oh, you can't do that. No, you can go and get as close as you want to Calvary's cross today, because there's room at the cross for all. Friend of mine, it doesn't matter what color this old skin is. It doesn't matter how old or how young. Friend, you can get close to God. You can get right up next to God. In fact, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I can speak to God and God can hear me. And oh, by the way, when God speaks, I can hear Him. Oh, I'm glad that God put Joshua as a leader. But I'm glad Joshua is not the leader today. I'm glad that we all can get close to Christ. We can all come near to Him. We can draw nigh near to Him today. We can get as close to God as we want to get. We can hear Him every time He speaks. We can speak to Him just like we pray. But if we choose to reject Him, we'll be further back from the front. I've told you this, and I'll hush. I know my time's gone. My hearing's not near as good as it used to be when I was a youngster. And if I'm in the back, I may not hear what's going on in the front, especially if you're facing another direction. I'm glad that I don't want to be in the back. I want to be close to God. I want to be able to hear whatever the Lord says. And that must mean, because of my hearing situation, I need to get closer. Finally, I'll get to the part where I can hear. But if I really, 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 really want to get good, I'll get right next to Him. You remember at the Last Supper, Jesus was there with His disciples. And there's many interpretations about this. You take what you want. I got my version, and that's the one I'm going to stick to. The Bible talks about John. Doesn't even call in a lot of different ways. He said he leaned on Jesus' breast. Now, you can take your interpretation how you want to. But friend, there was no closer spot than John was to Jesus. Kind of reminds you of dating, don't it? You can't get no closer than that sweetheart when you're in the car or something. You just like two in one right there. You close. But I got news for you. When you get close to the Lord, there's no closer. That's the front of the line. If you're at the front of the line, you're not looking back to see who's behind you, because you're just proud to be at the front of the line, sitting close to the Lord, hearing what He has to say, doing what He wants you to do. I'm so glad I'm saved today. I'm thankful that beyond a shadow of a doubt, whenever I die, heaven's my home. I'm glad because I know that I passed from death unto life. All because of what Jesus did for me. Can I get a little closer? Because friend, man can't do for me what Jesus did for me. Man can't forgive sin. I'm glad God can. If you're here today, friend, and you're lost without God, God can save your soul. And you'll want to get closer to Him. Brother Greg, a song of invitation. I don't know a lot. I don't have a great education, But I am so thankful to know Jesus. I'm so thankful to know that whenever he made a little simple thing of saying Joshua's going to be your next leader, Joshua done it for a time until God called him home. And friend of mine, God wants you to get as close until God calls you home. Are you that next leader? Or you don't care? I like being at the foot of the cross. I like being there. If you're not saved today, he's speaking to you. He's letting you know you have an opportunity to be saved. If he's speaking to you, these altars are up here right here for you. Come and confess your sins to God. He'll save your soul. May we stand to our feet, sing a verse of a song. God's speaking to you. You come today, would you, my friend?